Welcome back to Generation Zedia. We're so excited to get back into all things media and pop culture for our generation. Please welcome my co-host for this episode, Chronicle's own editor-in-chief, Melina Khan.
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. So today we are diving into the career of Taylor Swift, who is one of Ashley and my's favorite artists.
She's been my top artist on Spotify for 2 years now, I think.
And probably going on a third for me as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I got that Spotify notification that was like, you are in the top 0.1% of streaming for midnight. And I was like, sounds about right.
Yeah, I got top 1%. But that's because it glitched when I first opened Spotify. Yeah. So it was like, it took a few minutes.
Yeah.
What did you think of Midnights?
I'm obsessed. It's been all I've listened to since it came out. I am just so obsessed. I can't believe she gave us 20 whole songs. It's just a masterpiece. I'm going back and forth between which ones are my favorites. I don't really have any skips for the most part. I feel like I don't really like vigilante shit. It's almost Reputation vibes, but it's not my favorite. But other than that one, I think I like all of them. I will still listen to it, though. I don't skip it. Like, I still listen to it. Do you have any skips?
It depends on what mood I'm in.
Mm.
So, like, I prefer, like, the more emotionally destructive songs.
Mm.
But, like, I feel like I overplayed Karma.
Oh, so
and
good.
And I don't really like it anymore.
What? I
like,
love Karma.
I won't skip it yet, but I'm still like... Okay, yeah, we get it. Karma's a cat. Whatever.
Karma and Bejeweled are just total hype songs for me.
I do love Bejeweled.
It's just, it's such a bop.
Have you seen that guy on TikTok?
Oh my God, the strut of Bejeweled is just, it's serotonin. It literally is serotonin. That's, I wrote my opinion article this week on the anti-hero video controversy, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes.
But I literally, in the lead of that, I was like, this whole album is just giving me serotonin. And same with I believe his name is Michael on TikTok.
Yes.
The creator of the Bejeweled strut.
Honestly, it's one of those things that it's like, it's so simple. Like, I wish I had thought of it and gotten millions of likes.
Yeah.
But I'm not as iconic as Michael, and that's okay.
Yeah, I feel that. But since I brought it up, what do you think about Antihero?
Antihero is my favorite song on the album.
Really?
Like, right from the first line, I was like, oof, this was made for me. Like, this song was built for me.
I've heard such mixed reviews, which is truly shocking to me because I love it.
I think a lot of people get hung up on the sexy baby line.
Yes.
But when I read the explanation of it, I was like, okay, yes, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and a couple weeks ago when we had Katie Langley, who's our news editor, she reviewed the album. She was like, Antihero is just one that I don't like. And I was like, Katie, how do you not like Antihero? And she was like, it's a sexy baby line. I just can't get behind it.
And it's like, this whole sexy baby line, people aren't looking past it being about a baby.
Yeah.
Where it's really about these women who are infantilized.
Yeah.
And they are made to act like children and look like children and seek youth eternally. Or else they'll lose their relevancy, which I think is so relevant to Taylor Swift's career because she is 32. Mm-hmm. That's ancient for a pop star.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still here putting out new music and breaking records.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels like she doesn't belong in that group of people, even though she's shown time and time again that she does.
I think so many people take her lyrics at face value when they are so deep, and she is truly a wordsmith, and her lyrics just are always so incredible. And I think it's the same with Sexy Baby. It's like a lot of people don't really know what it means,
and I think a lot of that goes back to we're seeing a lot of anti-intellectualism recently. Like, I think it really started on like Twitter and Tumblr in the mid-2010s, and it was like posts like a blue curtain in a book is just a blue curtain, where an author really doesn't always mean what he's saying outright.
Yeah.
And people get frustrated with that because they learn about it in an academic setting where they're told they're wrong for an interpretation of things one way or another.
Yeah. And I think that definitely goes back to a lot of Taylor's songs. She's put out two music videos from songs on Midnights. What did you think of them?
I thought they were both iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Laura Dern being in the Bejeweled music video was the moment, truly.
Yeah.
I really, they're both such cinematic masterpieces, mm-hmm, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And Taylor's shown she's so capable with directing and video content. Like, we saw the All Too Well short film.
Yep.
Released last fall, yep. And of course that's being campaigned for Oscar nominations,
mm-hmm.
And I think that these two videos, while they aren't the same quality as the All Too Well short film, they weren't meant to be. They were meant to be music videos, and they were still so visually fun to look at, mm-hmm, and interesting.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of the anti-hero controversy, the video controversy?
I think it's incredibly difficult to handle that conversation because it is so sensitive. I think that Taylor could have handled it in a better way, like have just the part where they're leaning over the scale, mm-hmm, and then you see the problem, yep, shake its head,
yep,
at her.
Yep.
I don't think it should have said fat,
mm-hmm,
but I understood what Taylor was saying here. I understood that it was everyone else telling her that she's too big. Like, there's so many times that she's been out in public and people are like, oh, is she pregnant? She looks bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said that that affects her very deeply and it's given her an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's irresponsible of people to just write it off as fat phobic without acknowledging that fact.
I completely agree. And I think that was a lot of what I tried to put into words in my article this week. And I think that it's part of a larger conversation about the culture that we live in, that fat people are sometimes villainized unnecessarily. And that is where fat phobia comes from. And I think feeling fat is a symptom of an eating disorder for a lot of people. And that is true for a lot of people. And I think that calling the scene fat phobic is valid, but it also ignores the very real reality that exists for a lot of people with eating disorders. And I think that does not discriminate against Taylor Swift, even though she is a celebrity.
Yeah, I think that there's no wrong side in that situation.
Right.
But I thought it was interesting when I first saw people calling the scene fatphobic, I got a little like offended on Taylor's behalf. Mm-hmm. And I had to really examine that and be like, why am I feeling this way, mm-hmm, when I'm not the one who said anything?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an eating disorder. Like, mm-hmm, I'm not affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that falls into a lot of parasocial relationships that we have as celebrities.
Like, yeah,
a lot of Taylor's content is designed to make us feel close with her, especially, yep, with this era that,
yeah,
we're in.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing her in normal people clothes. Like, a lot of the album art is her, like, in a house, like, just in regular garb, mm-hmm, whereas, like, in previous eras, it was very flashy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that what you were mentioning about the parasocial relationships is really a big part of it, too, because for me, like, I've battled an eating disorder for years. And when I heard Antihero for the first time, I really felt like I related to a lot of what she was saying with my own struggles. And then seeing that imagery in the video, it felt like I could connect to what Taylor was trying to say. For all the controversy that's come out about it, I think it's taking away from how important it is that she does open up about her struggles, especially mental health struggles. I think it's really important for celebrities to do that. I think, like you said, I think as the scene has been edited as it stands now, it's still very impactful and powerful. And I think that I hope that this conversation around whether it is fat phobic doesn't take away from the overall meaning of what she intended for it to mean.
I completely agree. I do think that Taylor has this tendency to stay silent when she shouldn't. I think that in this particular instance, she should have said something, maybe being like, I'm sorry if that's how it came across. I'm working on doing better. Things like that. I think this also ties into her politics.
Mm-hmm.
She has notoriously remained silent on politics. It's part of her brand. And really only in, I want to say, 2018, for the midterm elections,
yeah,
that year, was the first time she spoke out about,
yep,
her politics.
Yep.
And she mentions it in the documentary, yeah, on Netflix, Miss Americana. She was worried that she'd lose people, like, her fans and things like that. And she was told that repeatedly, that if she spoke out, she would lose those people.
Yeah.
And I think she's still clinging on to that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, like, the only real political statement she's made has been she made, like, a wimpy statement after Roe v. Wade was overturned. Mm-hmm. And I think that she has the power to do so much more with her voice, and I would really like to see her do more.
Yeah, I agree. I was disappointed as well that she didn't say anything about this whole music video situation, especially given the fact that they did edit the video, but she never addressed it. Her representatives never addressed it. I think that was a big missed opportunity, because I think that speaking about it and having this conversation is really important, and seeing all sides of it, which I'm sure, you know, giving her the benefit of the doubt, I'm sure that she can understand why people are having this conversation. And I think that I feel like maybe some of it is getting drowned out by all of the noise around her album. And then she released another music video a week later, and then she announced her tour. So I don't know if she will ever address it, but I definitely hope that she does eventually.
Yeah, at this point, I think we're too far out from the situation for her to actually address it without it seeming like she was forced to say something.
Yeah.
Because it has been such a big week for Taylor, about big 2 weeks now. It's just not going to happen, but we can at least celebrate that she did take it out and she listened, or her team listened, to the community that was upset with it. Because the way they have it now is, like, that should have been what it was from the start.
Exactly.
Also, why was there a need for her toes to be out? Her toes are out so much with this album.
Yeah.
Like, in the Lavender Haze lyric video, like, her toes are just out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, she's barefoot a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it feels a little too intimate.
Like, I see what she was going for.
Yeah.
But I was like, come on, put the dogs away.
Yeah. So I know we talked a little bit about how busy of a couple weeks it's been for Taylor.
Yes.
And so I think that it's perfect timing that we're talking about this right now.
It really is. She currently occupies the top 10 spots in the Billboard Top 100, mm-hmm. which is huge. No artist has ever done that before.
Mm-hmm.
She has broken a ton of records this week, mm-hmm. that so many we can't even really get into all of them.
Yeah.
It's astounding that someone is able to do this 10 albums into their career.
For sure.
Like, this is unheard of.
Yeah. And I think another part of that we've seen her impact is with this tour. I have seen so many people posting about it online. Yeah. So many people talking about it in person that I know. There is just so much hype around this tour, and I am so, so, so excited for her to be going back on tour. It's been 5 years. It feels long overdue. Obviously, Loverfest was canceled, but I am just so excited and also very anxious about getting tickets.
Me too. I wasn't a Taylor fan really before Reputation. Mm-hmm. And so I was at the point where I was like, oh, I'm not going to buy tickets to see her show when I don't really know as much of her music. But in the past few years, really since Folklore came out, I've really listened to more of her music and become more well acquainted with her catalog. And a lot of people went through that same thing, because Folklore and Evermore were such different albums compared to Taylor Swift's previous stuff, that people who weren't necessarily fans and maybe listened to the big hits,
mm-hmm.
really were pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be so much more intense trying to get tickets. Although I'm not incredibly worried. I think that most people who want tickets will be able to get them, especially because they're putting things in place to kind of stop people from mass buying tickets. There's a limit of 6 tickets per card being used. And they're doing the verified fan system.
Yep.
And not to mention, a lot of these shows are happening twice. I know, mm-hmm. Gillette Stadium has 2 performances. I believe, mm-hmm. other ones do as well. And these arenas aren't small.
Yeah.
There is plenty of room for people.
Yeah.
And even if you don't get a great seat, just being there is going to be a whole thing.
Yeah. For sure. I'm really excited to see what she does with this tour, because it is called the Eras Tour. What eras are we going to be seeing from her? What songs is she going to be performing? I'm really excited to see what she does with it, because, you know, as we talked about, she is just such a creative. And I'm really excited to see what she chooses to do to highlight all of the eras of her career.
I think it was the smartest move she could have made with a tour. And like, we knew for a while a tour was coming, but we thought it'd be just a Midnights tour. But she's released 4 albums and 2 re-recordings in the time since her last tour.
Yeah.
There is so much content there that people have been waiting to see performed live.
Yeah.
And it would be a disservice to each of those albums to not perform any of it live. Because if they were to just do Midnights, there'd be room for like a handful of songs from Lover, Folklore, and Evermore. Mm-hmm. On top of the vault tracks from Red, Taylor's Version, and Fearless, Taylor's Version.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that she could have even gone without openers and just had the whole set be her, because she has so much content to choose from. But I am very excited with the openers that she's bringing with her. I know for me, I am from Massachusetts. I'm looking to go to the Gillette Stadium. Phoebe Bridgers is going to be there. I would love to hear Nothing New performed by them live, both of them. That is just incredible. And I feel like people don't get the opportunity to be able to see, on featured songs specifically, see both artists perform them together live. So I'm really excited. I think she has amazing openers. I wish Paramore was going to the Massachusetts one.
Yeah, I think it was interesting Paramore is only going to be at one show. But there are a lot of smaller artists that she is having open for her, like people that I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? No, that's good, because these smaller artists are going to be launched in their careers now because they've opened for Taylor.
Yeah.
But some of them are definitely interesting choices. Like Gail is opening for, I want to say, 6 shows. And she wrote the ABCDEFU song that went viral on TikTok.
I didn't even put that together that that was her.
Well, I saw a lot of people like being disappointed that she was doing it. And I was like, okay, who is she?
Yeah.
I look it up. And then it was like, oh, she wrote ABCDEFU. And it's like all of her top hits on Spotify are just remixes of that song.
Interesting.
But I'll be interested to see what else she has, because I'm pretty sure she has other songs. And like, I hope that's not the only song she performs.
Yeah, no, but I think that, like, we kind of touched on how, like, Taylor is very intentional. So I think that it definitely is intentional who she's picking and who she's bringing. So
a lot of the artists are also queer artists, which I think is super important. I know Phoebe Bridgers is bisexual, and a lot of the other ones are in the LGBTQ community. A lot of people were like, Taylor, this is going to be a gay show. And you know what? I hope it is. I hope it is.
She's such an ally. I love it.
So obviously we've spent a lot of time talking about Midnights because it just came out and we're seeing all the press and related things coming out surrounding Midnights. But she has 9 other albums. So do we want to do a little ranking?
Oh my gosh, I would love to.
So what is your number 10 album?
Number 10 is definitely Debut.
I also have Debut at number 10.
Yeah.
She's really just finding her footing in the music business, and she's really in country, and I'm not a huge country fan, so I agree.
I feel the same way.
Number 9?
For me, it's Red.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, it's Fearless. So why is Red your number 9?
Well, I will admit, I feel like maybe if I did a lot more thinking, a lot more reflecting, I don't know if my ranking would be any different. I'm very confident about my top 3. And then the rest of them, I'm kind of like, they can be interchangeable. But I think that for me, Red has a lot of bangers, but it definitely has its skips. Like, I think that other than the era of, like, You Belong With Me, I feel like Red was a really big bandwagon Taylor Swift era. Like, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, 22. Those songs just, like, literally are so annoying. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're so annoying.
You know what? I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
What is your number 8?
1989.
Really?
Yes.
So mine's Speak Now, which I know Speak Now is, like, it was her first album that she completely wrote on her own, and that's so important. And there are a lot of really good songs on it. I'm just not as well acquainted with Speak Now as I am with some of the other albums. So that's why I chose that.
That's valid. That's valid. What's your number 7?
My number 7 is Lover. So I love a lot of songs on Lover. I think that the singles on this album drag it down a little bit.
Wow.
I cannot stand Me and You Need to Calm Down.
That's fair, but I completely disagree with you. I'm not going to spoil what my lover ranking is, but it is much higher than yours.
And a lot of the songs on it are really good. Like, yeah. Daylight is so good. Yeah. I love Cruel Summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think her choices in singles,
because
those were the songs that Lover was driven by.
Yeah.
And that's a huge reason I never listened to it in the first place, because I didn't like those two songs.
Yeah. I think for me, I liked them before the rest of the album came out. And then in comparison with the rest of the songs, I was like, oh, these are really bad. Not really bad, but they're just not my
favorite. They're the weakest links.
They are the weakest links. Yeah.
So what is your number six?
Reputation.
Reputation. Mm. Mine's 1989.
Okay.
So we kind of talked a little bit about 1989. Yep. Why did you have Reputation at number six?
Reputation, it's kind of a hit or miss for me. I have a handful that are just really good hype songs. Dancing with Our Hands Tied, Gorgeous, Getaway Car. But for the most part, I think there's a lot of skips.
Yeah, there are certainly some skips.
Yeah.
And like for me, almost all of the albums have skips.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. What is your number five?
Speak Now.
Okay. Why Speak Now?
For me, I love Speak Now. So at this point, I feel like it was more of just like, which albums did I like more than Speak Now? That was my only rationale.
Yeah.
What about you?
Number five for me is Evermore.
Oh.
I love the storytelling in Evermore, and I love a lot of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But I have more skips on this album than some of the other ones that I have higher up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to think of examples. I think Ivy's a skip. I know a lot of people like Ivy. And then Tis the Damn Season, I really don't care for.
I love that song.
But overall, Evermore is a great storytelling album, and I wish she'd acknowledge it more.
Yeah.
Because she does not talk about Evermore.
Yeah. I love Evermore.
So what is your number four?
For me, it's Folklore, which I know we didn't really talk about yet, but I think Folklore is such a new era of Taylor's voice, and I just love, there's a lot of songs in there that I would not be the same without.
We're getting to a point where it's like we love all of the songs that are coming out of these. For me, number four is Red.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved All Too Well 10-Minute Version. A lot of this is from Taylor's version because I never really listened to all of the original. But I really loved so many songs on there, especially the songs from The Vault. I really felt were super strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nostalgic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And of course, there are those songs like We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together and I Knew You Were Trouble that are just kind of eh.
Yeah.
But overall, the songs are really good.
That's valid. So we're in the top three now.
I know. What's your number three?
My number three is Evermore. Okay. I really love Evermore. I mean, that's all I have to say. I just love it.
For me, Midnights is number three.
Okay.
I think that I wasn't expecting the sound out of Midnights based on the stuff we got beforehand, but it's still on repeat.
Yeah.
Somehow Antihero has ended up in my top played songs of all time on Spotify. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
But it's a thing, and it's definitely going to be my top song on Spotify Rap this year.
That's why Midnights is my number two, because I feel like it really encapsulates who Taylor has become and where her voice has gone and where her music has gone. And so I think that, and like we said before, I mean, there's basically no skips. So
for me, number two is Reputation.
Oh.
Reputation was my first album as a Taylor fan.
Yeah.
I listen to it all the time, and I still listen to it all the time. It's the one album I'll always put on in the car, and my friends look at me like, what the hell are you doing? My friends are not Taylor fans.
Mine either. It sucks.
Yeah. So you're number one.
It's Lover.
Really?
Which I know you, it's lower for you.
Yeah.
But what's your number one?
My number one is Folklore. Folklore is just such a masterpiece in my opinion, and nothing beat when it came out. Like, she announced it the morning of, and then it came out at midnight.
Yeah.
Like, that was insane. And it was the summer I was working at a gas station, and it was like very, it was a weird summer because it was the COVID summer.
Right.
and listening to it just made me feel better.
Yep.
All of the songs are absolutely devastating on it.
Yeah.
From My Tears Ricochet to Hoax.
Yeah.
Everything about Folklore is art to me.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise I won Album of the Year that year.
Yeah.
And it 100% deserved it. And I love that sound from Taylor. And I hope we get it back again someday. Not soon,
yeah.
but someday.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I love Folklore. And I think it's like, it's one of those things where I think we can all think back to where we were when Folklore came out. Because it was just one of those super iconic moments of, like, of Taylor just doing her own thing and not caring. And I think that's such a big part of who she is.
I so agree. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Melina. I've loved talking with you, as always. And I know we love talking about Taylor Swift together.
We could go on forever. But thank you so much for having me. I am going to go shuffle Midnights before my next class because I need the energy boost for real.
What's the first song you're gonna listen to?
Bejeweled. It's my hype song.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you in a few weeks.